I'm Ness. I'm from Gabriela, Australia, a Filipino women's organization that basically fight for women's and children's rights. Our main advocacy is around family and domestic violence. And that's my volunteer work alongside with being coordinator of the support network for international students and all other formation that I'm involved within the migrant community.
Thank you for that. So we're speaking to you today as part of our special broadcast on 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. I was wondering, in your role at Gabriela Australia and the Support Network for International Students, what are some of the issues that currently concern migrant women and women who are also here as international students?
In relation to our current campaign, which started actually way back in 2018, partner migrants, we refer to them as the women and their children who have been impacted by family and domestic violence, regardless of their visa status. So, because at the moment there's no really services to them, so these women and children who are very vulnerable because of their visa, they're not on a partner-related visa, which basically makes them not even part of the family violence safety net in the migration regulations of 1994. Way back in 1994, it hasn't changed. So basically, they're invisible. So they are the first to be, they are the last to be in migrant women and women refugees, and also first to be out if ever they get in. So there are no really services. So basically, our first call for that campaign is equitable services for all women and children who have been impacted by family and domestic violence, regardless of their visa status, and also to amend that regulation. It should encapsulate all. We should not be having this conversation where the safety of women is being based on their visa status. Because statistics would say, and I have been working in the family services and family violence sector for almost 2 decades, that these women are not even counted. Actually, we're not even collecting statistics that are called specific. We always say, yeah, there is the called community, but it doesn't relate to anything. So when you're not even in the statistics, then you're not part of the service sector at the very least. So we're calling for that, and we know that this is a struggle that is like a continuation. We go back with the stories of the mail order brides, which became e-brides now, electronic brides. So there are so many names already. So this is just one. And then when it comes to migrant women, including of course the international students, we see them in the area of domestic and family violence as the most vulnerable. Because if you are experiencing domestic abuse and your first concern is, where are you going to go? Because you're on a tourist visa, you're on an international student visa, or any type of, visa that is temporary. You wouldn't even dare to speak to someone about what's happening to you for fear of deportation, fear of disconnection from the family, especially with the children. Because when it comes to domestic violence, the always threat of the perpetrator is for the mom to be to be disconnected with the child. So the child will be taken away, and the perpetrator would say, you don't have any rights because you're a nobody in Australia. So it goes on and on. And we've seen that especially during COVID, that has basically in our community where we're just, on we're all volunteers. We get calls where women are already to be deported, but they have experienced violence for a considerable amount of time. And of course, we have cases where the women have died already. And the horrible statistics is A few years back, we're saying one woman dead every week, but now we're saying now one woman is dead every 4 days. So that's basically a big rise. And we're not even counting all the other women. Say, I would say for migrant women, it's very specific. We've got cases in the past where women were treated as not a victim of domestic abuse, but just because they were, say, carers of their husbands or partners, and because they were on temporary visa, they were recorded in the on the police as, you know, someone who abused the other way around. So they were made perpetrator as carer, and that there was only an accident. Say there was a woman before, this was in New South Wales. She was pushed from the second floor of the house, so through the stairs. Of course, she died, but then it was recorded in the police as something, a normal incident, an accident. But when we look deeply at it, it was actually domestic violence. Of course, the police didn't bother, you know, changing the report, but it keeps on happening. So even the statistics now that every 4 days a woman is dead because of intimate partner violence, or because of vow or violence against women, that doesn't include even those women, migrant women, especially those that are on temporary visa.
Yeah, it sounds like there's just so many layers to it. First of all, just wanted to recap a bit what you've been saying. You know, the fact that migrant women, these women aren't even counted, like this process of dehumanizing these women, not seeing them, A, as women who are worth caring about. And therefore, you know, if we don't have if it's not worth looking into, they have no statistics. And so we don't actually know how, in reality, how widespread it is. And like you said, there's always this fear of being of deportation, retaliation in some sort of way. And so a lot of people stay silent. There's another layer of inaccurate reporting or record keeping from the police, further silencing the experiences of these women. And we know that this happens a lot. Well, primarily among First Nations communities. So there's no surprise that that would then happen again within the migrant community as well. And now, like you said, instead of issuing these women with permanent visas and therefore allowing them access to all these services, it's sort of a gesture that really doesn't do much at all to make any sort of real impact.
Yeah, I think what is happening is, with women, especially on visas, is that slavery is still there. That slavery is so alive in their narratives. And even how the perpetrators are calling them, they're not only sexual slaves, they're everything. Some of them are even the ones who are working and providing the money for the family, even if they are on temporary visas. So I think this gender-based violence is also needs always to be rooted to what is happening in their home countries. Like, you know, I'm a Filipina, so in the Philippines, the poverty is just through the roof because of the corrupt system. So, you know, women are very much forced to migrate to look for better options, but it's not really better. So if that keeps on happening in those home countries and the capitalist system, you know, breeds poverty and exploitation, it will continue to happen. And when Australia, who is posing to be sometimes as a welfare state, is not really doing something about it, you know, even if we put that, hey, compared to the whole number of migrants, this is small. This is not gonna make a dent on your whatever are your KPIs in terms of migration. Nah, they don't budge. So, you know, but then I'm always a believer of the collective struggle of women. Even if you can only convince a few women to come out, to seek help, to seek support, That's more than enough for us. Yeah, but then solidarity among migrant women, First Nations people, and all the exploited, groups in our society is really needed to be able to have that bigger voice and to push for not only reforms, but probably the invention of a new system.
Ness, I think that's such a good message to end on. I think connecting it back to the struggles of so many other oppressed and exploited peoples, it's always can be very grounding because you know that there are other people who you are standing in solidarity with. And, you know, like you said, we all need to come together because we are just fighting the same system, the same oppressors. I think that's also a really important point, what you said before about always thinking about what's happening in people's home countries to see or understand a bit more deeply what's happening in the diaspora or in the local, you know, quote unquote Australian context. Ness, unfortunately, that's all we have time for today, but thank you so much for joining us on the show this week to speak about this really important issue.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the opportunity.